Hi, this is Jack Vaughn for SearchSOA.com. We're here today to speak with David Linthicum about his new book, Cloud Computing and SOA Convergence in Your Enterprise. It's hot off the press from Pearson Education, Addison Wesley Division, and the book really is a very lucid discussion of SOA and cloud computing, which are two of the most important movements we're seeing in enterprise IT today. David Linthicum is a familiar face to members of the Search SOA community. Over the years, he has served in industry and as an analyst, and he's been at the forefront of application integration, XML, and SOA. David Linthicum right now is devoting a lot of his attention to cloud computing, and as the book bears witness. David, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jack. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast.
Well, I appreciate it. We're going to jump right in. You deal with questions in your book, and these are natural ones. I'd ask you to discuss some of this with our podcast listeners today. Why SOA and why cloud? What is it that these things share?
Well, as I cover in the book, I mean, cloud computing really is a way to do SOA. In other words, it's an architectural options as you build service-oriented architecture. I mean, at its essence, service-oriented architecture is an architecture pattern. So in other words, it's basically a way of doing something. It's a way of approaching architecture and kind of looking at systems as sets of services and rebuilding those services in such a way that they're able to change very easily as business changes. That gives you the whole agility aspect of service-oriented architecture. Cloud computing become architectural options within the concept of SOA. So in other words, we can host the services either on-premise or we can host them now that these capabilities are there within cloud-based services such as Amazon, 3Tera, Microsoft, and you know other emerging technologies. So that's where the links are.
Are you seeing a lot of people that are coming, first of all, to cloud and then not necessarily see that connection with SOA?
I think what I see is a lot of people that are building service-oriented architectures in the cloud and not even know they're doing it. Mm-hmm. So in other words, they're just leveraging systems that leverage services, and they're building mashups and they're building composites, you know, out on these cloud-based systems and leveraging all these various services on the back-end systems and just these wonderful applications that are completely living on the Internet. And then, you know, come along and look at the architecture. There's not a lot of forethought that went into building those things, but their service-oriented architecture is really kind of nonetheless, or at least using service-oriented architecture patterns. So in many instances, you'll see the success of service-oriented architecture occurring more often and in greater numbers on the platform of the Internet or on cloud computing platforms than you do on-premise, which is kind of a very unique thing that I'm seeing in the business these days.
And in the book, you mentioned somewhat that well, some of the companies that we associate with cloud, I think Amazon, perhaps Google, they sort of took a services approach to how they pioneered it.
Yeah, absolutely. Every one of those guys uses web services-based APIs to communicate with their infrastructure. So when you deal with Amazon, you're dealing with a collection of APIs. When you deal with Microsoft, you're dealing with a collection of APIs and other providers as well. So they have a service-oriented approach to leveraging their system, just kind of going into the gate. Now, they may not understand how it's leveraged in the context of a service-oriented architecture. You can have just a bunch of services and not really have a service-oriented architecture. But they're really kind of setting service-oriented architecture up for success. So people, when they're on-premise systems, as they're reinventing their enterprises, are looking to basically address their main systems or their main business processes as sets of services. And the cool thing about moving to the cloud is the cloud has already set up their infrastructure to address it as sets of services. So service-oriented architectures are, in essence, architectures that are able to span from on-premise to cloud-based platforms using kind of the notion of service-oriented architecture. So putting configuration layers and process layers on top of those services, and those things can exist on-premise or the cloud or in both. And so we're getting into what I call the blurring of architectures these days, where it's very difficult to tell whether existing on-premise architecture stops and the cloud begins. And I think that's going to be the way it's going to work going forward. So it's not going to be this big switch, or it's not going to be this mass migration out into the cloud. It's going to be this very gentle and gradual movement into cloud computing as the services that we're utilizing shift from on-premise out to the cloud. And really kind of the lines between our on-premise system and the cloud-based system start to blur. And from the end user's perspective, they don't know whether they're on cloud-based systems or on on-premise systems or on a mixture of both. And I think that's what we're headed to. We're going to leverage a mixture of both.
There's some real direct things that you say in the book, and you know, one of them struck me, that cloud computing could devastate the enterprise IT, as it's known, much as the web did. But why do you think cloud might do that where a predecessor like the grid really didn't?
Well, cloud computing is really not just kind of a way of doing computing. It's kind of a different model to leverage computing resources. So we're not talking about changing any kind of aspects of computing. We're talking about still using storage and still using databases and still using application development and processing and testing. Nothing really changes in the world of cloud computing other than the way we consume the service. So instead of doing so through on-premise hardware and software that we're creating, are moving to new ways of doing on-premise hardware and software, cloud provides us with just another way to consume the same resources in a different kind of a model that enables us to scale up. It's fairly elastic. So in other words, we can scale up just by paying them more money. The ability to support different levels of agility, because we can provision cloud computing systems in a very short period of time. We can change providers typically quickly. And those capabilities are really, you know, a little, you know, kind of fit right into the need that I think enterprises are looking for these days.
Well, so some of it is familiar and some of it's different.
Yeah, it is. I mean, one of the things about cloud computing that I tell people when I lecture on cloud computing, don't focus on what changed, focus on what is the same. And I think you'll find that cloud computing is a lot less scary that way. All Amazon does is provide us with different ways to leverage existing technology that we're leveraging on-premise. So storage as a service, database as a service, specifically, for example, the new RDS system that they just released last week, and the ability to do processing as a service, or the ability to consume major enterprise applications such as CRM systems like Salesforce.com sells, or the suite of stuff that NetSuite sells. It's just a different way of consuming the same technology. And instead of hosting it on-premise and having to pay for the hardware and software and people to maintain it, we're able to do it on a per-drink basis through a subscription, which makes it much more affordable and a lot more efficient as we move our enterprise processes and change our enterprise software. So it's an opportunity to become much more efficient, especially cost-effective, and able to utilize our computing resources better. But it's an opportunity, but that doesn't mean it's kind of a natural fit. That doesn't mean you're automatically going to move in that direction by using cloud computing. You have to understand how it exists in the context of architecture, and service-oriented architecture is the best fit there.
Well, there's a portion of the book I'd like to put your attention to at this point on that topic, and that's where the cloud fits or when the cloud fits. And I think that's what a lot of CIOs and CTOs, even CEOs, are trying to get a handle on now. So where is cloud computing a fit? Just a couple of examples.
Yeah, and I write about that in the book, and I think it's really kind of rules of thumb. And typically cloud computing is going to be a fit when the applications and the processes are largely independent or loosely coupled. If they're tightly coupled, it's very difficult to decouple them, to move bits of them on-premise and bits of them out into the cloud. If that coupling exists, you're going to have to decouple them first before you're able to move bits and pieces of them out to the platform, the clouds. Second would be when the points of integration are well-defined and everything exists as an API and we know how to get information into a system and out of a system. Because obviously we're going to move aspects of our core enterprise systems out onto the platform of the clouds. We're going to have some way to integrate and share that information back into the on-premise systems. And there has to be mechanisms in place to make that happen. And another aspect is when a lower level of security will work just fine. You know, cloud computing is not unsecure, but it's not a place right now where you would put state secrets. So while I would have a complete trust in cloud computing and putting credit card numbers and social security numbers out there, those typically are not going to be compromised. It's not something I would tell the government to put state secrets on yet.
Okay.
So those are three aspects of it. You want me to continue?
Sure.
All right. Another one would be, you know, when the core internal enterprise architecture is healthy. The other thing to remember, cloud computing is not going to fix your architecture. Everybody looks for new technology coming down the line as something that's going to fix a systemic problem. including dysfunctional political organizations and all those sorts of things, which basically not allow you to get in there and make significant systemic changes in the positive direction. So if your architecture is bad, by adding cloud, it's just going to make it worse and more complex. When cost is an issue, in other words, you're trying to do more with less, and that's what a lot of people are facing these days. You know, IT budgets are being slashed, and instead of, you know, spending $5 million on a data center modernization effort, you know, perhaps look at cloud computing as an architectural option. And then finally, when applications are new, legacy applications have a tendency not to be good candidates for cloud computing because there's just so much that has to be done to take those applications and put them on the platform, the cloud. It just isn't cost effective in most cases. And again, these are typically rules of thumb. You may have a domain which may have a different way of utilizing cloud computing, a different way of looking at this. But generally speaking, these are the way to look at when cloud computing is going to be a fit for you.
You know, we ask most authors this question. As you were writing the book, what surprised you or what did you learn? Even a great teacher, when they're writing a book, to tell people what they know, they learn something as they do it. And what caught your eye as you dug in there?
What I really discovered was the fact that there is kind of an evolution here, not necessarily a revolution. And I also discovered this does a few things. Number one, it enables larger enterprises to become much more effective with the resources that they currently have. That doesn't mean they're going to be effective. I think we've had opportunities to become much more effective in the past with different technological changes. In many instances, we just didn't take advantage of them. Service-oriented architecture, to a large extent, is one of those. It just tended to be a little bit more complex than people wanted to deal with. And ultimately, it had an impact in some businesses, but not everybody that leveraged service-oriented architecture. The other thing I discovered is this is definitely leveling the playing field. So there are startups that I've been consulting with or was consulting with in the past that are able to build their infrastructure for a fraction of what it would take a startup to build their infrastructure just 10 years ago. So for, you know, $100,000, they're able to get enough computing power to build a complete R&D development environment and support, you know, 30 or 40 people in the organization, and that's for a couple of years, where that would be a $2 million investment from some venture capital to put in there now. So you're getting these smaller organizations that are able to make a huge impact into the marketplace with very little money because the cloud computing basically provides them the computing resources the big guys were only allowed to access or could only afford in the past. You know, that's what I learned. Also, the technology within the world of cloud computing is being driven in large part by innovation. So ultimately, the cloud computing vendors are going to win this game are the guys who are being more innovative around the ability to provide these services out of the cloud. And I think that competition and the speed of movement and also the speed in which you can change cloud vendors that are utilizing within the organization is going to drive a tremendous amount of value in this space going forward. So people need to kind of look at those aspects of cloud computing as they move forward.
Well, David, we appreciate the chance to speak with you today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much, Jack.
So this is Jack Vaughn. And I'd like to again thank David Lithcomb for speaking with us about his book, Cloud Computing and SOA Convergence in Your Enterprise. The book is a step-by-step guide, and it's published by Addison Wesley in 2009. The SearchSOA.com editors want to thank you, our audience, too, as well.